The Pittsburgh Steelers come to Cleveland this Sunday riding high on a two-game winning streak, and members of the Browns defense understand the challenge that lies ahead. Here's defensive coordinator Ray Horton with more.
Well, I don't grade them with a numerical value. Their individual coaches do. But obviously, he had an exceptional game. AJ was held to, I think, his lowest total as a professional, I think. And Joe provided big plays for us. And Joe's probably played as he has most of the year. He's played exceptional. And you'd have to really look with a fine-tooth comb to pick out things that he's not doing well. He's playing exceptional for us.
We've kind of seen him grow up, if you will, over the last couple of years. Have you even seen a maturing in him on and off the field in your time with him?
I think marriage will do that. I hope marriage will do that for you. You know, he got married this year, and I think that's a big part of, you know, your maturation process. You get married and you have another responsibility, and that really ties into having a responsibility to your teammates. And yeah, I think so. I think the home life really does settle players down, and he's been a pleasant surprise for me, and I do remember him as a rookie coming out. So he embodies everything you want in a young corner. He's athletic, he's smart, he's tough, and he's a very good person on top of that.
Ray, can you go briefly your professional and personal relationship with LeBeau, where it originated and how it's grown?
I was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was my defensive backfield coach, developed into my defensive coordinator, and then I've coached with him or under him for quite a while. And for me, I would say it's more of a personal than a professional relationship, and I think when you have a mentor like that, I think it is that way. It goes beyond football. And I carry some of the life lessons I've learned from him into my life, instilled into my children and my coaching career. So probably everything that I am, I think he's a big reason why.
Any of the stuff that he does aside from football, did he ever show that to you, like playing the guitar or the social stuff?
Yeah, many golf trips that we've been on the road together, treating people exceptionally well in gas stations, in restaurants. He's quite the scholar. But I always say he's got that common touch. It's unbelievable how he treats people, and he's got an uncanny ability to make you think you're the only person in the room that matters.
When you played for him, did you someday think that you would be a coach?
Personally, I thought I would be a coach in college. But upon meeting Coach LeBeau, I think I knew how I wanted to be a coach and what style of coach and how I wanted to treat players. I always wanted to be a coach. But he was a role model for me of how to coach.
I believe this is the second time you've played against his team, correct?
Yes. Arizona. Yes.
What was the first time like, and is it any more special when I know you guys aren't going against each other, but just the idea of facing your mentor, so to speak?
No, I don't think it would be for him. He's got so many proteges out there. I don't think so for him. And for me, people say it's another game. It is another game. I played in Cincinnati. I played in Dallas. I played those teams, and it's so long ago that it doesn't have the sentimental value other than you want to win. Now, if we were playing golf, that would mean a lot to me. So,
what did it mean to you when he went to Hall of
Fame? Everything. For a man to contribute as much as he did, player and coach, and to have as many players on his side, I think justice for him, and very proud. It's almost most players you hear talk about him. It's a father-son relationship, and I'm sure those guys were just as proud as I was for him.
Cincinnati did, despite the obvious pain of the loss, did the defense take the kind of step that needed to be taken to be in the hunt down the stretch?
We put a lot on ourselves as a defense to do our part. And I thought we started extremely fast. We knew the challenge that Dalton and Green and Sanu and Gresham, all those guys, presented. They were rolling. They were the ninth best offense in the league and extremely talented passing. And, we challenged our guys to step up, and they did. They answered the call, and they had a fine game against Cincinnati.
Can you talk about how Barkevius Mingo has been coming along. I think you mentioned that by Thanksgiving you expected him to really be starting to hit his stride. How's he doing?
We put a lot on the young man, and he's playing different positions for us, and I'm happy with him, and I'm throwing a lot more at him this week also to be accountable. We talk about in this business, after week 10 or 11, it's an extended season for rookies because typically they play 11, 12, maybe 13 now, and we're at that point with the preseason. So it's a big factor for us to gauge him, how he's doing in the workload and the home life and all that stuff of this last push of the season. But he's doing everything we want. I expect a lot from him, and I'm challenging him off the field, meaning extra stuff to study and do more for us. But we're pleased with where he's at.
From a pass rush standpoint, is he disrupting the quarterback enough and doing enough of what you need to happen?
Yeah, well, obviously we want more wins. We want more sacks. Cincinnati was a different game in that they threw the ball quick. You know, he got rid of it. We didn't get a sack on him. But we held him, I don't know statistically for him, but we held him to 118 yards, I think, passing and completion lows and all that. So there's a lot of ways to affect a quarterback. And one was pressure versus Andy Dalton. And statistically it worked. We just didn't come out with the game. So it was a different game because of what they were trying to do also.
How similar are the two defenses going to be on Sunday? And do you think that gives Pittsburgh any help because they've seen it for so long?
Probably identical. I haven't watched them defensively this year. I haven't seen I saw the Detroit game. I looked at it. But I looked a little bit at the New England game because I'm looking at New England's offense. So as far as alignment, calls, words, verbiage, identical. I don't think it gives them an advantage. I don't think it gives us. I stood behind their offense and watched them practice all the time. Whether they're code words or whatever. I don't think they'll change. I don't think we'll change. Everybody uses the same stuff. But it's... I think it helps because they see it all the time, but then so does our offense. So I don't think it gives a team an advantage one way or another.
Do you speak with Dick during the season?
No. Usually right before the season, we'll say good luck. And he's awfully quiet during the season, as am I. I don't pick up my phone. I don't call people. You try to keep tabs on, statistically I do, how they're doing, how we're doing. And then at the end of the year, we talk and compare notes.
Your time there with the Steelers and watching practice that you just said, do you know any more about getting a Roethlisberger than
getting to him? Well, I could say getting to him is probably the first step. Okay. Getting him down is something totally different. Ben is, I think I saw a quote somewhere about Fran Tarkenton saying that Fran Tarkenton was the best quarterback or something like that recently. And it was odd because I was just thinking about Ben, watching tape, and, you know, there's different style quarterbacks, but I think in and I can't go back to Y.A. Tittle and some of those other quarterbacks, but as far as the most elusive quarterback, I don't know if there's a better one. I mean, Fran was different because he could scramble and run around, but Fran didn't take hits and shake hits like Ben does. I don't think there's been a quarterback in the league that has taken unabated shots and shrug guys off and made more big plays than Ben in the history of the league. Now, Fran would run, Roger Staubach would run, but they were different type quarterbacks, whereas Ben's probably the biggest, strongest, most mobile quarterback. And I tell people, I told our players, he was a shortstop in baseball. You would think he would be a pitcher. He was a point guard in basketball. You'd think he'd be the center, and he punts left-footed. So this guy is the most athletic guy that we'll face, meaning total package of completeness.
Right, following up on that, from your personnel side, I mean, is it possible to rush four to get him home, to get home against him? I mean, that'd be a perfect world, but I mean, if you've got to start having it be five and six all the time, how vulnerable does that make you on the backside?
I don't think at all. That's what we do. We mix things up. We rush four. We rush three sometimes. We rush two sometimes. And we rush the whole house. So we won't change anything. And we just have to understand that it's just not the Cleveland Browns. It's every single team in this league has a problem getting this guy on the ground because he's so big, so strong, so athletic, and most of his big plays come after contact on him. And it's just something you're conscious of and you are aware of. But most guys are, I think, shocked by this guy's strength and athletic ability.
He's been hit a ton. Can you see him eroding within the course of games?
No, because I remember games where he just smiled at it. I mean, really. And he's a unique guy where they would laugh at plays, meaning, ha, 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 we got him again. And they're a unique bunch in that their wide receivers thrive on getting open after contact and going up the field and creating plays that are really, you know, schoolyard basketball plays, go behind the super route and take a left, and I'll hit you. And that's, you know, they make a ton of big plays that way.
What have you come to learn about Tank Carter?
What do you think of the prospect of Tank Carter? Of who? Tank Carter. Oh, I go back to my first interview with you guys talking about depth. And I do not care who's in the game. They're all accountable, and I am comfortable with Tank as I was with Craig, Mingo, whether it's Ruben in the game, whether it's Billy Wynn. I believe in our players that they will be accountable and do the job the best of their ability.
Talk
about the stats versus the Bengals. How much does it factor in, or do you get upset about not being able to keep holding the field goals on a couple of those shortchange possessions?
Sure, that's what we want. That's what we pride ourselves on is teams are going to move the ball. You just are in this league. And really our goal is, first of all, not to let them score and then to hope in the field goals. And I've moved on from that game. I don't remember. I think there were three drives, I think. Two of them I thought we should have for sure absolutely held them to 6 points, two field goals. The third one, I don't remember what it was. I think it was the James Harrison interception. I don't remember how that one played out. But that's what we talked about on Monday, of holding these guys, continuing to give our offense and our special teams a chance to stay in the game. And that was the most critical factor for the defense, I think, in the game is hold these guys to field goals.
You talked about their second and third receivers. How much confidence do you have in Buster and then Chris Owens when they go with Sanders and Cotter?
Well, Cotter, I think he red zone targets. Seven targets, six touchdowns, something like that. A few of them against New England and last week against Detroit. So he's playing extremely well. I know Emmanuel Sanders is a guy that I think is a very, very tough wide receiver. You know, he has a defensive mentality. I have faith and trust in our guys that doesn't matter team, player, that we're going to go out there and compete and do the best that we can. So I'm very confident in our guys, our players.